And I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity to assemble, to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to thank the brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service to the Lord. If you're visiting with us on this afternoon, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you are honored guests, you are VIPs, are very important persons, and what you are experiencing is New Testament worship. Well, according to Acts 2:42 and verse 47, we find that there are five acts of worship. The Bible says, and they continue in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, Luke penned, and they continue steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching, and in fellowship, which is giving back to the Lord, and in breaking of bread, where we commune with what Christ sacrificed for us on the cross, when he shed his blood and he died on the cross for us, and in prayer. And then verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to know that we want you to be added to the Lord. Only one can be added to the Lord when they follow the instructions that are given by the Lord. That one must hear the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, how that Christ, again, died for our sins according to the scriptures. He not only died, he was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. That is the gospel indeed. One must hear that gospel. One must believe that gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And then after one believes it, one must repent of their sins. One must repent of the repentance simply means I turn now to God. I've been living the life that I want to live. We talked about this morning, my own righteousness. But now I turn to God. I want to do the will of God. That is how repentance began. Then one must make the confession that we find in Acts 8:37. What is the confession? The confession is a statement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then one must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all his past sins. And then what the Lord do, now you become a child of God. You become a Christian. You're a member of the Lord's church. One, until one does that, again, as we just sung, the world is not our home. One day, we're going to face God. And so we want to prepare ourselves to God. It's the responsibility of the preacher to share those things with us. Amen? And so again, if you're with us, you are on the guest. Thank you for your presence here on this afternoon. We're studying the Word of God. Those that were with us this morning, we talked from Philippians, where Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, in our study of the Philippian letter, Paul said, I count all things but loss that I might gain Christ. We talked this morning about how one gains Christ by to gain means to have or to possess Christ. How do we possess Christ? When we do the will of God. And we talked about this morning how there are things that Paul said, even though he was in the Jewish religion, Paul was well up there, but Paul said, I count all that things lost that I might gain Christ. And I was sharing with us today, even myself, that there are things that we might have to let go. We have to lose some things in order that we gain Christ. Don't let nothing stop you from following the Lord. We talked, shared a little bit about from Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah said in the year the king Uzziah died, whatever happened when Uzziah died, he said, then I saw the Lord. And I shared this morning how we shouldn't allow no one. Sometimes we can let other people stand before us in the Lord, but we have to move those people out of our way that we can obey the Lord. Amen? And so in this afternoon, for a few moments, we want to look at, we're talking about that I may win Christ. Well, in Proverbs chapter 11 that was read in our hearing on this afternoon, we want to speak from the subject found in Proverbs. He that winneth souls is wise. So this morning we talked about how one may win Christ. This afternoon, I want to look at a few verses that talk to us about how we win in souls and the characteristics that one must possess. The Proverbs Solomon wrote about one and he that, and found in verse number 30, he that winneth souls, the Bible says is wise. We're going to look at two ways one wins souls and that we do those things that God has given to us. Proverbs, the writer said that. So meet me in verse number 27 of Solomon's writing. And again, when we read Solomon's writing, oftentimes when you read a statement or a line, there is within it the message or the point that Solomon was trying to give, who the Bible says was the wisest man upon the earth. Nobody was more wiser than him. He was the wisest man that ever lived. Wisest man that ever lived. And God did for him what he couldn't do for himself. God did that for him, and he was wise in the sense that he did those things that God had commanded him. Let me share with you a little bit about Solomon before I go in there. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 3. And the verse is number 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse is number 5. As I unfold to you what the wisest man said. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" He basically told him, whatever you want. God, if God ever asked us that, no telling what y'all ask for. If God say, ask you what you, I can see now. Oh man, I gotta look slowly, because I can see, I can just see in y'all forehead what y'all be asking for. But God asked this man, "Ask what I should give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him his son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made me thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor count for multitude." Watch what he asked for now. He said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thou so great a people?" Watch this now. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." See, Solomon, that time, Solomon was concerned about, what can I do from a spiritual standpoint? How can I, God, you'd have made me king, given me to be king over your people. I need discernment that I can judge between right and wrong. I'll know what's right. I'll know what's wrong, that I can judge your people. Amen. And God said unto him, "Because thou had asked this thing and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." So notice what God said. God said, because you asked for this thing, he said, now you could have asked me, "Lord, can I live to be 150? He said, you also could ask me, "Lord, just make me rich." He said, Lord, just get rid of my enemies. He said, but what you asked me for is an understanding to discern judgment. Nor what God said. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. See, sometimes we don't have to ask God for everything. God will bless us sometimes with stuff we don't ask for if we just do what's right. God told him, you didn't even ask. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. And he said, and if. Now, understand, when we serve God, there's always an if. Yeah, in serving God, there becomes an if. God told him, and if thou will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then, God told him, I will lengthen thy day. That's the man we're talking about, Solomon. The wise, God said, there was none wiser than you before you. There won't be nobody after you wiser. And God said, because you did not ask for things. Sometimes we don't have to ask for things. Just live right. And God will bless us. This is the Solomon that we're going to talk about for the next few moments from the text. And I just wanted to show us, this is the Solomon that wrote, God, this man was the wisest man that ever lived. And so in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, a few verses, Solomon wrote, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Solomon first said, if a person seek to do good, you're going to find favor. If you're a person that want to do people good, guess what? You will find favor. Sometimes you can do people good and people will just show you favor just because you are good. Solomon said, just do good. But he says, on the other hand, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. In other words, those people that go out and try to harm people or hurt people, God said through Solomon that what you hand out is going to come back to you. Look in Galatians chapter 6. I like to confirm things with scripture and not just say things, but show where the Bible says it. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6 and 7, Paul said to them, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, God said, whatever you plant, you're going to get it back. You plant a good seed, you're going to get good seed back. If you are a person that's mean and hateful to other people, guess what? It's going to come back. It's going to come back. You know, you may get by, but you're not going to get away. Not with God watching you. And Paul said, don't deceive yourself. And so the command back in Proverbs 11 is that we do that which is good. That we don't do things that are harmful to other people. A Christian people, as we said in Romans chapter 12, a Christian people should never seek revenge on nobody. No matter what a person does to you, we should never seek revenge. But the Lord said, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, said the Lord. God is the one that payback. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Then he says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches. It's not no sin to be rich. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. Show you that in the Bible. God can bless people. Yeah, nothing wrong with being rich. But it's the mindset you have with the money. It ain't the money that's the problem, it's you. It's me with money. Yeah, yeah. So Solomon said that, again, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Now know what Paul told Timothy when he wrote to him. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Paul said, charge, the word charge means to instruct them that are rich in this world. Now you can have Christians that were rich in the world. What two things, Paul? That. Remember I said this morning, anytime you find the word that, most time there are instructions after that. He said that they be not high-minded. Don't think you better than nobody. Don't think you above nobody because you have riches. He said, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So Paul said to Timothy, teach those people that have something or have a lot that's rich in this world, teach them not, don't let their minds become high where they're above people. He said, also teach them not to trust in riches, because sometimes money can be here today and gone today. Not gone tomorrow, it can be gone today. He said, but our trust should always be in a living God, and anything God gives us, we know God can bless us and we can enjoy those things that God gave us. Amen? So we find here, again, not to trust in riches. And then he says, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And so the Christian will grow and prosper if I try to live righteous. Solomon said that the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You just gonna grow. Just keep doing right and living right and watch yourself grow. Yeah, sometimes the growth may not be monetary. Sometimes the growth can be spiritual. As a Christian, I need to be able to look at my life and see that I've grown as a Christian. And as long as I try to do that which is right, Solomon says, I'm going to grow just like a branch will grow. Then he says in verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool, shall be servant to the wise of heart. Solomon says here, notice, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. The one that brings problems to his own house will have nothing to show for it. You know, you win, you can't catch wind. Nobody can. And so what Solomon says in the text is that when I bring trouble to my own house, I bring problems. And I'm going to say this to all of brothers, you ought to be leaders in your home, and you ought not cause problems in your own house. Yeah, yeah. I need to work on myself to make sure that I'm not the one that's causing the problem, because the Bible says, when you do that, what you're going to inherit, the wind. Wind is something nobody can grab. You're going to end up with nothing. Nothing. Sometimes you have situations, and it's sad now, we're looking at so many domestic cases now. You know, you can turn on the TV and you see situations of murder, suicide. I think I saw recently where a one man, 62, wife 61, killed himself. And I'm saying, we as Christians, you have to live such that you cause peace in your home. Yeah, not problems in your home, but we cause peace in the home. But when you can't get along with each other, amen. Sometimes we need time away from each other, amen. I told my wife, she's away from me. I said to her, I said, sister, I understand this. You need a break from me. Yeah, you need a break. I want you to get a break from me and go. And I texted this morning. I said, I hope she with my younger daughter, with Morgan. I said, I hope you are enjoying yourself. And she texted back. She said, yes, we are. Yeah, go and enjoy yourself. And sometimes we just need a break. I need a break from her. Amen, somebody. And I know y'all going to go back. And you know, Brother Stroud said he need a break from you. Yeah, that's okay. And I'm going to say, Sister Stroud, whoever told you to text their name down. Yeah, when they come to you telling you that kind of stuff. Yeah, we need break from one another. Yeah. Not because things are wrong, but sometimes you just need time to yourself. You know, sometimes I just want to spend some time with me and the Lord. Yeah, sometimes you just want to go get away and do things for herself. Yeah, if you can do those things, more power to you. Amen? He said, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. And so again, he connects that which is a fool to the one that's called in trouble in his home. And then we get our verse where we get our text from. He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And now when we look at fruit, go to Galatians. We're finishing up. Galatians chapter 5. Because sometimes we use the word fruits. But nowhere in the scripture does the Bible use the word fruits when it comes to those things. Because these are all characteristics. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. It's not no fruits, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what Paul said to Galatians. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So again, this is what the Spirit can produce when we give ourselves to the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit. So when the Spirit leads us, what character do we have? We'll have love, we'll have joy, we'll have peace, we'll be able to suffer long with other people, we'll be able to show gentleness, we won't be coarse with other people, we'll be able to show gentleness, kindness, we'll have goodness about us, we'll have faith, trust in the Lord, we'll be meek in our spirit, we'll have temperance or self-control. Paul said, against such there is no law. That's the person that Solomon was saying, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And then he said, well, we get our title, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. So as I close, we talked about two ways the Bible shares how we can win souls. Number one, look in Mark 16:15-16. Jesus gave this commandment, Mark 16:15-16. Those people that have never obeyed the Lord, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we find in the text that one way to win a soul is to teach them the gospel. If they believe it and they obey it, they are baptized, that's one way by which we can win souls. And again, I want to say to all of us, our responsibility is to try to bring those to the Lord that we can. Amen? Thank the Lord for the souls that obeyed on last week. And that's our mission. That's one part that we win souls that are not Christian. But then there are souls we can win that are Christian. In our first, last text, turn to James chapter 5. As I find the closing landing spot here, James chapter 5. James talks about another type of winning souls. James 5, our subject title, he that winneth souls is wise. Look at James chapter 5 and verse number 19 as I close. James wrote, brethren, if any of you, they mean the Christian, do err from the truth, and one converteth him. The word convert simply means to turn. James said, if you have one of us and we err from that which is right, and a person turns him, James said, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Yeah. So we can influence those that may be trapped in sin by sometimes we just live right before people. Amen? Yeah, when you have a person that's struggling, a person that's going through stuff, sometimes by we can go to them, we can live right to them, we can share things with them. And James said that if let him know, if you turn a sinner from his error way and you bring a person back, those that reconcile, those that come back to the Lord, James said, you have saved that soul from spiritual death, and you shall hide a multitude of their sins. So again, He that winneth souls, we can win them in two ways. We know we have to teach people the gospel to obey the Lord, but sometimes those people that have drifted away from the Lord, if we turn them around and bring them back, James said, we have saved that soul from death. Amen? Amen. That's my message this afternoon. He that winneth souls is wise. So we find from the word of God what God teaches regarding that. There's someone, again, that would like to obey the gospel. I shared at the offset of my message, you come become a Christian if you're not a Christian by hearing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe that gospel. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ to be the Son of God and then be water baptized for the remission of your sins. There's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your listening ear.